AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Boulay Kev, podcast special guest in here who just tore down the freestyle. Go check that out on the YouTube channel. It's there as well.
Yes, sir.
Harry Mack is here.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, yeah, man. You've been on your shit lately, bro.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate that.
So for people who don't know, you're kind of known for your ability to rap very well, but more importantly, like off of the top of the dome.
Right.
Which is something that is a lost art form. We have a freestyle series on the show, and I would venture to say 95% of the bars that have ever been rapped on our show is written.
Right.
We still call them freestyles. Obviously that term is like evolved.
Yep.
But like in the old school, old head term that me and you live by,
right,
you are the true definition of a freestyle artist.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that.
But no, like you've done a really good job of, you know, I feel like people before you who might've had your talent, also different eras, right? But like, sure, you've done a good job of like figuring out a way to build like a universe and
right,
monetize your skill. So
right,
kind of like you've had a great pandemic.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, it's weird to say, you know, because obviously there's been a lot of pain for a lot of people through the pandemic. And I think we've all brushed shoulders with that pain in one way or another. But
right,
from a business standpoint for me, and just from a creative standpoint, you know, I've had the time and the space to really build, like you say, build a universe around what I'm doing and kind of build a brand around being an off-top freestyler.
Right.
You know, and I think I'm really fortunate, man. You mentioned how, you know, cats from the previous era weren't always able to monetize the off top freestyle mm-hmm. thing. I feel really fortunate to be alive in this internet era. You know, I really do think
it's almost like, made for that.
Yeah. That's the difference, right? It's like now we live in a time where, you know, previously it's like if you're an incredibly talented off top freestyler, a record label is going to be like, yo, that's dope. We don't know what to do with it. Sorry.
100%.
You know, and that is like, okay, cool. Like when you have a hit song, hit us up. You know, meanwhile, this talent is like insane and everybody who sees it live loves it.
Of course.
It just doesn't fit in with the structure that sort of exists already. Now we live in a time where anybody with a phone can get on these free platforms and build a personal brand with whatever they're into doing. And if there's an audience for it that enjoys it, you can monetize it. And so,
yeah, I know you've been doing this for a while. I first saw you on the Crew show.
Yeah.
Probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Cruz.
What is like the platform that like really first started to really like pop off for you in like a serious way?
YouTube was definitely the first, in terms of social platforms, you mean?
Yeah.
YouTube was the first one. That was the big one. Actually YouTube and Facebook, oddly enough, cause I had a video back in February, 2017. It was just called Venice Beach Freestyle Part 1. Mm-hmm. And it was just me out there on the Venice Boardwalk.
Scary place to be nowadays, by the way.
I know. Yeah, it's a lot different now. Yeah, post-pandemic or whatever, mid-pandemic.
Wherever the fuck we're going through right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Wherever we're at in this crazy timeline. What is time anymore anyway? But nah, man. Yeah, I was out there. It was funny. We had been there all day trying to freestyle for groups and stuff and just, you know, getting rejected.
Right.
Or getting yelled at. Hey, don't do this in front of my store. No filming. No camera. Right. Whatever, whatever. And we were frustrated. And eventually my boy who was with me filming it on my phone was like, yo, just start rapping and see what happens. So I start rhyming on the boardwalk. And one by one, you know, this crowd starts to form. And it was kind of like, it was very serendipitous. You know, the crowd that forms, it looks like we hired people to be the crowd because it's so like diverse. And then there's like these like preppy boys on bikes and like polos and shorts. And then there's like this stoner couple with a big dude in the Bob Marley shirt smoking an L, you know, and just one by one, it's like you get sort of this whole picture of like the diversity of the Venice Strip in front of me. We ended up with like 40 or 50 people gathered around me and I'm rapping about everybody's clothes and everything like that. That video went super viral both on YouTube and on Facebook, and that was kind of the beginning of people knowing about Harry Mag, I guess.
How long have you been doing the Omegle freestyles?
Yeah, I guess like a year and a half, right?
So you started that during the pandemic?
I started it during the pandemic, yeah.
Let me ask you something, because that's a sketch place, Omegle. Yeah. You know, you might fuck around and go in there and there's a 55-year-old truck driver jerking off. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Has that happened?
That specifically,
well, maybe not that specific. Yeah, but, he's like, I didn't know his occupation, but he was 55 and his dick was out.
Yeah, yeah, no, I've seen some dicks, definitely. I've seen some dicks, but not as many. So here's the thing. It's funny, actually. Like, before the pandemic, people were making Omegle content on YouTube. And so people would be in my comments like, yo, your shit would crush on Omegle. Because really what I make is reaction-based content. It's about people who don't know that I'm going to be dope. Then like, I do a freestyle and then hopefully I blow their mind. And that's what's fun about watching it in a large part. So people would hit me up and be like, do it on Omegle. But I knew kind of what was up with Omegle. And
I think I just remember Chat Roulette back in the day.
Exactly.
And it was like a dark place.
Exactly. They always, any site that randomly pairs strangers on video chat is a recipe for disaster.
Yes.
Like, it's going to be corrupted. So I avoided Omegle for a long time. And then, you know, a few months into the pandemic, it's like, damn, we can't go out and shoot our regular content. Like, let me check this out and see what's up. And actually now it's a lot better than it used to be because they have these tags, interest tags or whatever. So you could type in hip hop. It's like putting hashtags on a video.
Whatever you're into.
Whatever you're into. And they also have much, and that creates a lot more filtering. So if you don't use those, you see a ton of dicks. If you use those, I maybe see, you know, like in all my time making the series, honestly, in terms of actually seeing a dick, I've probably seen like 20.
It's a solid amount of,
and I have like 60 episodes, you know.
So like, I mean,
it's more than I would like to see.
Not a terrible ratio, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I mean, I would have liked to have not seen any, but I mean, 20's not bad.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people assume because people go on there to try to find me. Yeah. And they don't know about the interest tags.
And they're
so they're just like, dog.
No,
like,
I can't find you on Omegle. I just keep seeing dicks.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, you must have a terrible PTSD. Like, you should be in counseling. Like, the amount of dicks you're exposed to must be absurd. But it's really not. It's not as crazy as you think.
Yeah. Have you had like a bad experience on there? Like, where you were freestyling and something weird happened?
I've had some sketch experiences on there while I'm freestyling. Yeah. Like, where I stopped the freestyle and was like, bro, you know, you need to get help. Like, people doing like weird drugs and stuff, like on the screen,
where like you're rapping and then someone comes up with a meth pipe, like,
yeah, essentially
fire.
Yeah, like, I don't know what's in it and it could be a prop, you know, they could be trolling.
Oh,
but it's still just like insanely uncomfortable, and I stop it and I'm like, dog, don't do that.
Yeah.
And also, and everyone can see your face, and like, don't do, you know, people don't understand the internet, it feels like, you know, where I'm just like, hey man, like,
people forget that shit is there forever.
Yeah, it's on a server somewhere at least forever, and you got to assume people are screen capping everything you're doing.
Yeah,
you
know? this is true. So what about the TikTok? And I know you were on Twitch a lot, right? So,
yes.
Like, those are obviously kind of two platforms that, you know, a lot of people I know, especially DJs, took advantage of Twitch big time during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And man, I know some people who are getting crazy checks just DJing on Twitch.
Hell yeah.
How did the Twitch shit for you? Like, because, you know, we, in the hip hop community, we got Kenny Beats, who's huge on Twitch. Yep. But, like, how did you kind of turn what you do into something that worked for Twitch?
Yeah, so with what I do, you know, being as it's all kind of improvised off top, it's like what I need is some kind of randomization, you know? Like
people in the chat, like, yeah.
Exactly. We just did a freestyle. You threw me words out loud. That's always dope. That's like the classic way of doing this. And, you know, in this case, it's just a live chat feed.
People are throwing out words. Putting words in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so basically any like live streaming platform, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Twitch, they all work really well for what I do. The learning curve was like reading it and incorporating it from a written word as opposed to hearing it out loud. It's different. It's like a slightly different part of the brain or something. Yeah. I don't know the science of it, but it was a bit of a challenge in the beginning because rhyme is all about sound. It has nothing to do with how something's spelled.
Exactly.
Like devil doesn't rhyme with evil. They look like they rhyme,
correct?
But they don't. So you kind of, it's like I have to read it and then hear it in my head. And then I'm like, oh, okay, now I know where to go.
While you're rapping.
Yeah, it's a lot of multitasking. It's kind of a...
At what point in time were you able to say to yourself, I can fully support my life off of my skill?
Wow, that's a great question. I feel like it was like 2018. I did a Mitsubishi commercial. And it was crazy because I was used to being like pretty much broke, you know.
Right.
I'm a jazz drummer. I don't know if you know that, but
I did not know that.
My background, yeah. So my background is playing jazz gigs, and
so that was like your gig, your besides rapping, that was like what paid the bills
and teaching drum lessons. Yeah, I've been a professional musician supporting myself for a long time. You know, I think like 10 years.
Maybe. Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, but the hustle of a jazz drummer in the modern world, as you might imagine, is a serious. It's an intense hustle.
Serious hustle.
It's an intense hustle, and it's not, you know, it's not glamorous in any sense. Yeah, I mean, I was playing like bar gigs where we're crammed in a corner and just being told play quieter, you know, you're disturbing don't do your thing, so like stop being so aggressive, and you're out there trying to pour your soul into this thing you love, and it's like, you know, and we're doing,
you're here for the ambiance.
Yeah, exactly. And we're getting paid $50 or something, and the first couple gigs we got free drinks. Second gig they're like, yeah, the bar's not gonna do the free drink thing anymore, but same time, you cool. And so it's a tough grind. Shout out to all the jazz musicians, by the way, and I have a lot of friends who are still in that world crushing it,
right?
And I know what it really means to be crushing it in that world. So shouts out to anybody doing that. But for me, you know, I was like barely making my rent, barely getting by doing jazz gigs. And then in 2018, I did I got hired to do a commercial for Mitsubishi, which was like kind of based on my videos where I'm dressed up like a car salesman at the Mitsubishi dealership. And then people get in the car to test drive it. And I'm sitting next to them. And then I'd start rhyming about the car and shit like that out of nowhere, get reactions and stuff. And that was my first like check, kind of, you know,
right.
And it wasn't anything crazy, but like for me at the time, it was like more money than I'd ever seen. You know,
it was like just enough to be like, oh, I got to keep doing this.
Exactly.
This is working.
Exactly. And I knew before that I had to keep leaning into the freestyle thing just from like the popularity of the videos and how much energy there was around it. But that was the first time I kind of like got paid. And then I took some time away from YouTube and was like working on a project and stuff like that.
Like an album?
Yeah. And that was cool, but I lived off the money from Mitsubishi for it. It was like a label advance almost, you know? Luckily, I didn't owe it back though.
Yeah.
I lived off it for a while and like worked on shit and didn't really think about like, what am I going to do when this gets low? And sure enough, it got low. And again, I was at a point where I was like, yo, I'm going to have to like apply to Trader Joe's and fucking start. I'm going to have to like get a fucking job. You know, like I looked up one day and was like, I'm going to have to get a job. And then, and shout out to my girlfriend who was like, fuck that. Like, you're dope, man. Like, people, you have a fan base. You just have to activate some more of this shit and like figure out how to monetize. And that's when I started diving deep into like, okay, how can I use YouTube like a YouTuber? You know what I mean? Like, how can I actually build this out and make money off it? And how can I do the same on IG and Twitch and things of that nature? And since then, like from a business standpoint, we've been able to really grow.
Yo, stopping the interview. Got to tell you about our good folks at Odd Socks, man. Listen, go to oddsocksofficial.com. Use the promo code 20% off. Save 20% off some of the craziest socks. You know, they got the Ninja Turtle joints. Shout out to Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to SpongeBob. Plus, they got the Odd Socks Basics. These are my boys right here. I love these right here. You get the plain black, the plain white. Very comfortable. Most comfortable socks in the world, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Plus, underwear, y'all. Cheez-It Draws. Come on, what are we doing? Go to oddsocksofficial.com, use the promo code bootleg and save 20% off the most comfortable underwear in the world. Fuck all that other bullshit y'all be wearing on your ass. Throw all the Methicas in the trash. All that PSD shit, all that shit is all... Listen, man. Put them odd socks on your ass cheeks and thank me later. I was going to say, do you think that... What I noticed was a lot of the creatives that I know, the pandemic kind of helped a lot of people finally shine, because it kind of like reset the world and kind of like... I feel like it kind of... Everybody was starting from the same place.
Yes.
Because, you know, people weren't going out to clubs. Like, you know, if you look at the Best Albums of the Year nominees in 2020, it was like Royce and Jay Electronica and Freddie Gibbs. And it was just like all this ill rap shit.
Hell yeah.
Like, yep. I feel like a certain amount of like, maybe it's time opening up or the way people are consuming shit. But did you feel like a uptick in your shit, like, dude, when everything shut down?
Big time. I think it was a few things for everyone, and maybe a few things specifically for me. But one was like, everybody was at home, mm-hmm. and everybody was scared. You know what I mean?
Facts.
Or uncomfortable or sad or whatever. And people were just looking for content to distract them or to consume their time. You know, people were just sitting on the couch wanting to watch something, you know, to pass the time. And so people who were providing content suddenly had an opportunity like to really step up. I think the other thing is like, previously, it's like Hollywood is doing these big budget, super produced things, and everybody else is at home with their little webcam. But then all of a sudden, like overnight, it was like you go on Netflix and people are on webcams.
Mm.
You watch the news and it's like the shitty webcam. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like everybody was at home producing content with the same webcams. And like suddenly the tech part was taken out of it, kind of, where it's like it's not such a huge difference between a random YouTube content creator and like what you're seeing on TV.
Right.
And so that was kind of like a leveler, I feel like, in a lot of ways.
It was like it was a level playing field in some ways.
And so then it just came back to the quality of what you're making. You know, it just came back to like, if you're making something valuable, then you have a chance to really win right now.
Yeah, that's real, man. Yeah. Pandemic was good to a lot of people. I mean, obviously I'm talking about just career wise. Like, I feel like people definitely, like the people who took advantage of the circumstances, you know, what do they say when someone gives you shit, turn it into lemonade? Isn't that the name of an Atmosphere album?
Yes. Yeah.
Isn't that an Atmosphere album?
It is. But it's a
it's
twist.
It's definitely
on
not
it.
That.
It's a twist.
Whatever
on
I just said is not the name of the album, but there's some sort of Atmosphere album that's close enough to that.
Yes.
What are you working on right now? Do you have anything coming? Like, I know you're putting out weekly videos and you're on your shit, but like, as far as like, are you going to put out original music soon?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm going hard on the video content as always. But yeah, in terms of original music, I've been having a lot of fun, man, exploring kind of how to use my freestyling to create records, you know? And, because I don't like to write. Like, I don't enjoy sitting if I sit with a blank page and a pen, I feel like I don't know how to rap, and I'll just sit there forever looking at it. Like, what would I ever write? Right. You know? And then as soon as it's like, okay, play the beat and start the mic, then as soon as I start rapping, I remember how to rap. So for me, it's just a thing about process, but we've actually released two little mini EPs, like little 3-song projects, in the last 6 months or so that were either fully off top or like a hybrid where it's like, I'll jot some ideas and then kind of just go in the booth and go off top. And, the fan base has been rocking with them, man. And so I'm excited to continue exploring that path. We just released one called Soliloquies, about a month ago that people are rocking with on my YouTube and stuff like that. And those are coming out to like DSP, Spotify, and Apple Music and all that. So I want to continue kind of exploring that process of doing what I'm comfortable with, but still being able to release like official albums and projects.
What like inspired you to start freestyling back in the day? Like, what was that first, like, you know?
Yeah. It's funny because there's a couple of like really early childhood. Like, I saw Wayne Brady on Whose Line when I was in third grade. And I was like, I asked my mom, I was like, wait, what's the trick? Like, they give him the stuff ahead, or he wrote it in advance, or they're a plant. Like, I was the skeptic in my comment section when I first saw him.
Yeah, no, he's full of shit.
Yeah, because he would make songs about people, you know, but he would sing and stuff. Yeah. It was on Whose Line, but he would learn their job, favorite color, whatever, and create this like brilliant song with a chorus and stuff off the top. That was the first time my mind got blown from like lyrical improv. And then from a hip hop standpoint, without a doubt, the person that lit the fire for me was Supernatural.
Supernat, yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Supernat. Like, he's the GOAT freestyler in my book.
I agree.
But yeah, I was exposed to a project he had called The Lost Freestyle Files. When I was in like sixth grade, I would walk up to Music Millennium. It was the like record store by my house. And one of the dudes who worked there was a hip hop head. So at the end of the hip hop aisle, he would put like his top five picks of the week. Mm. And one week, one of those top five picks was Supernatural Lost Freestyle Files. And I didn't know who Supernat was, but I was already into freestyling. We would watch like 106 in Park and the battles and stuff like that and just try to do our little freestyles, you know? We were super whack, but we were having fun. And so I saw it, and just off the strength of the title, I was like, oh, Freestyle Files? I like to freestyle. Let's check it out. And good thing I did, because that record definitely blew my fucking mind, man. Like, that shit, because when I heard Supernat, again, it was like the first time I saw Wayne Brady, where I was like, it's not possible. Like, how is it so smooth? It sounds written, but yet he's incorporating these things that are proving, you know, that it's not written. And so, like, just that alone was enough of a spark for me to want to like do a deep dive and try to figure that out. And from there, you expand the universe. He had a battle with Juice, so I start checking out Juice, and then you mm-hmm. get on YouTube, and you know, we were into Rhymesayers and Atmosphere and them, and I learned about Idea, who's another
Idea's crazy
phenomenal freestyler. Rest in peace.
Yeah, and rest so in peace,
yeah. Freestyle Fellowship, you know, bit by bit, we were just nerdy kids trying to learn about the shit. And but yeah, definitely Supernat was the first dude in a hip hop context that blew my mind with the freestyle.
And then you just been sharpening your sword.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. Like I'm it's scary. I'm scary.
No, it
obsessed.
Is pretty crazy, man. you're fucking man. That's no like you're one of them ones.
Oh, thank you, bro. I appreciate that. It is just it really comes down to practice and commitment and putting the time in, you know. I always try to mention that, cuz people see what I do and they're like, they're baffled by it because they've never thought about how that would work, right?
Right.
Same way I felt when I heard Supernat, and they're just like, yo, like, how's it feel to be born with this like incredible blessing and shit like that? I think I was born with a spark for sure. I think I have a talent for improv and knack for it, but for sure my first freestyles were whack. You would never hear my first freestyles and be like, he's got it.
Would you ever do, have they ever hit you to do Wildin' Out?
No, not officially.
They gotta get you on Wildin' Out. You'll body everybody on there,
dude. That's what I'm saying.
I feel like you're just too nice for Wildin' Out, though.
Oh, because you mean like literally, like too
you're a,
kind?
Like you're a sweet guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's true, man. Like I don't battle. People see what I do, and they're like, "You'd crush the battle scene."
You're like, yeah, but I'm too nice for that shit, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't really like dissing people. You know?
I don't want to
like,
diss Black China and make her cry.
Right, exactly.
On Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I think that would be the next thing for you. You got to do that. Wildin' Out.
I would love to. Seriously, yeah. I would love to. Yeah, I would love to.
And I think you would be a. I mean, obviously, you would kill it. You'd be the best guy on there. You know,
man. Thank
easily.
You,
but look, I appreciate you coming through. So there's gonna be, you got a couple EPs out now.
Yeah.
Weekly videos. Your TikTok is going crazy.
Everything's going crazy. But the big thing right now, bro, I'm going on tour.
Tour.
This year. Yeah, I'm going on tour. Energy Exchange 2022 is the name
you're
of the
headlining?
Tour. I'm headlining. It's my headlining tour, dude.
Wow. So like you're going to do crowd work, work the crowd.
Yeah, it's a fully improvised set. Wow. And then we'll do a, we might, I don't want to leak anything, but basically it's a fully improvised set, and it's going to be crazy. We got to test it out a few times here in LA. We've done some shows here. And it goes crazy and it's going to be wild. So check it out. We're starting in February and we're going across the US all the way through the top of May.
Wow. Well, yeah. Hey, good luck. Don't catch that Omicron.
I know. Hopefully we're past it. Hopefully. Everyone's getting it now. So I hope we don't have a new joint by that time, but
boom,
we'll see.
There it is, man. Yes, Harry Mack.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Tired of pickup truck bed chaos? Meet Decked. Game-changing USA-made full bed-length drawers for tools and gear. Waterproof, dustproof, lockable, secure. Whether you're working, hunting, fishing, camping, or just getting out of town. And introducing Decked Deco Cases. Tough, modular, problem-solving cases built for the truck, job site, campsite, or garage. Say goodbye to random bins and tie-downs. Order now at Decked.com/iHeart for free shipping. Decked. Your truck, your rules. Decked.com/iHeart.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.